This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Every trash, the MT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah. Very hearty good morning to you and yours, DNR 98.7 ESPN. I mean, so much going on. Yankees don't lose. Mets don't win. Knicks in action. What's so funny?
Yankees don't lose. Mets don't win.
Am I wrong?
Sounds about right.
Tell me what's wrong with the statement.
No, it's factual. It is a
it's
factual
very
statement.
Factual. It's very distressing.
It depresses me, but it's a factual. At least half of the show is in a really good mood this morning.
Now, you would think so. You would think that those guys on the other side would be in great moods, but are they in fact? I mean, are they really reveling in what the Yankees are doing right now?
Well, I think they're fast at work now. I think once Raymond gets at least half that bagel in his face, that he'll be ready and he'll be happy. And then RJ's been cutting up sound and everything else, bouncing around. But he's
off off an elite show yesterday.
Elite.
You think there's stress for RJ today?
No.
Because how do you respond to greatness?
Well,
there's a lot of pressure.
Great.
Good job, me.
Someone that's great like that would respond how, you know, people that are great respond. They would follow it up with more greatness, like Caitlin Clark did last night. Hoo-wee.
Yeah.
That's how you followed up.
Boy, I got Caitlin Clark on one TV, and I got the Mets on a TV to the left. It was like polar opposite things.
There was a lot going on last night.
It's a busy time of sports.
Two hockey games. We had that game. We had the Mets.
Yeah. Big loss for the Islanders. Bad loss for the Rangers.
What a disgusting end to
that
game.
I got a little trouble last night. So we had a call with Ben's SAT prep lady.
Yep.
And
he's already crushing the SAT. He already crushed the pre-SAT, right?
Well, so he took the SAT. I don't know if he wants me telling you about it. On the SAT, first SAT, 1340.
Yeah, you told us that.
1340, I told you?
Yeah, you told us that.
I don't know.
Then you found out that Raymond and you had the same score on the SAT.
But so SAT 1340, and he was very unhappy because on the PSATs, he was getting well into the 1400s. They've changed the SAT now.
Okay.
It's all digital. All digital.
Nice.
And what it does is, so for the math and the verbal, I didn't think we were going to start out here, by the way. The math and the verbal, there's two sections of each. If you do very well on the first section, you go to a very hard second section. I guess he did well enough on section one, went to a hard section two, had struggled. He said it was very hard. So,
well, if you go to the harder section, does it increase your score?
It does, but it was really hard.
Right, is it better to do...
Yeah, it's better to get to the harder section.
Okay.
Yes, 100%. But it's hard. And he has worked hard, and he was a little disappointed that he only got a 1340. Whether that's good or not, he wants in the 1400s, and that's where we are. So we're kind of, creating a game plan for... He's going to take another one in May, another one in June. Yes. So we're meeting with the SAT prep lady, and it's always dicey because it's a 7 o'clock meeting. So I pop on, and we're in the kitchen, only one TV.
Right.
I pop on the Rangers game. That was my game of choice. I figured the Mets, whatever, I want to see the Rangers. We're on this meeting, 18 seconds in, Pittsburgh scores.
Right.
I exclaim, oh, crap. To which it was like what is going on?
So that's where he gets his wonderful vocabulary from.
Yeah, right. Dad. Right. But I was distraught, and then the Rangers, you know, progressed to just play an awful hockey game. They did not play well.
No, I don't think it was all bad. Listen, you have one team that's scratching and clawing to try to at least make the playoffs, and you've got one team that's getting themselves ready for the playoffs.
Oh, listen,
it's a different sense of urgency.
They have played great hockey.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that the loss is overly troubling, but I don't think the Rangers played very well.
The first period was not good. I mean, Trouba knows he can't make a play like that. Like, that's just not a play you can make when it's a meaningful game.
But
problem with that game is it was meaningful for the Penguins.
Very
it wasn't
meaningful.
Overly meaningful for the Rangers.
Well, I want to get that one seed. I do.
Yeah, I would like that one seed too if I was a Rangers fan.
So, you know, say whatever you want. I want to get the one seed. Now you're 3 points ahead of Carolina with the tiebreaker, mind you. So really 3.5 points ahead of Carolina. Each team has 7 games to play. So I figure you go 5-1-1, you're good. 5-2, probably good. So, yeah, I mean, they do have a little wiggle room, but last night would have kind of put a stranglehold on that one seed.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, game like that, again, I mean, trying to get yourself up for all these games as you get towards the end of the season is not is easier said than done. It's tough to get to, I mean, when there's no real desperation, it's tough to reach the level of a team that's...
I'm sure.
Especially one that's led by Sidney Crosby. That's the last thing he wants to do is miss the playoffs.
I'm sure.
So and he's going to drag his team with him.
And they're right there. Your Islanders with a... What, you're upset because you gave up the point?
No, I gave up the point. What a disgusting way to end that game.
You won it.
Gross, yeah. But you had, I mean, you also gave Philly a point.
Right, which actually
you
really
need
does
to
matter.
Philly a point.
But you won the game.
Yeah, which is fine. But again, it's a missed opportunity to get two while they get none. Because you couldn't get the puck out of your freaking zone.
Well, Islanders have not been a very great team this year.
Gross turnover by the Flyers.
I flipped it on, and I was like, oh, and as they made that play, I was like, oh, that's bad. I was like, and there's the goal.
Awful.
Like that.
What's the last
leads.
Person? No, Brock Nelson is the last person on the Islanders. You want that puck on?
It led right to a goal. Yeah. So, but all those things, as unattractive as the Islanders' win in overtime was, nothing compares to what the Mets gave you. I mean, what a treat the Mets are offensively. I mean, I get it's early. I'm not freaking out. My expectations weren't great anyhow. But what? I got to watch 158 more games of this. I mean, it's almost unwatchable, Rick. It really
almost,
is.
It's getting pretty close. I mean, they better watch themselves for all the things that we're just talking about. I mean, Rangers looking for the one seed. Hopefully for them and for Rangers fans, they're able to make a long playoff run. Knicks gearing up for the postseason. Yankees playing as well as they're playing. Like, they keep this up, they're going to be irrelevant fast.
Quickly.
Real fast.
I looked on StubHub last night.
Just had to be
just,
cheap.
Just to look.
Yeah.
$6.
Great.
You get into nice. To Citi Field to watch the Mets. But listen to this. You ready for this? And Yankees win. Yankees great. Call 1-800-919-3776. You should be excited. I mean, Heel pitched really well last night. Bullpen continues to pitch lockdown
Boldy's
baseball.
He's awesome.
Away you go. And we'll get to the Yankees and do plenty of it. Nimmo's hitting .063.
Yep.
And I know it's four games, but Lindor. I mean, you couldn't score a run off the Tigers last night in 10 innings.
Well, you've had, I mean, three or four games you've scored one or fewer.
Right. And then the one game that you scored six, I know you made it close on the scoreboard, but you were getting blown out of that game.
Yeah, and on top of it, you wasted Sean Manaea.
It was terrific last night.
5 2/3 hitless.
Terrific. Terrific. But you knew in the first inning, when your first two guys get on, now you have the heart of your lineup, and you get, what did Alonso do? Alonso, I forget what he did, but then Alvarez hits into the double play, and now the inning is over.
Alonso fouled out. Yeah.
So it's bad. I mean.
Well, you had that. Then you had the sixth. Nimmo makes a great play. So the first hit of the game ends up where there's a play at the plate. Nimmo makes a good throw. Alvarez, great tag. He gets hammered as he makes the tag.
Right.
I mean, he's really been our best offensive player has been Alvarez, and he's finally hitting where he should be, and you know, behind Pete last night, hits the double in the sixth, and then DJ Stewart, for some reason, decides he wants to swing 3-0.
Obviously, he had the green light.
Oh, clearly. I would hope so. I hope that he's just not going on his own saying, I'm going to swing it.
And you know how DJ many, you know how many hits DJ Stewart has this year?
Zero.
As many as you.
Right.
And me, and RJ, and Raymond. None. And he's batting fifth. Listen, if you want to bat a guy like DJ Stewart eighth or ninth, fine. Fifth? Come on.
No, they got to put Marte back up. That's what they got to do. They got to go. First of all, those guys have to hit. Last night, you just read those.
So Nimmo, 063.
Yep.
Lindor, 063. Alonso, 267, but he was 0-for-4 last night. Alvarez has been great, 429. DJ Stewart, zero. Zero. Right, you got Bader is hitting 200. McNeil, who you count on, was a batting champion a couple years ago. Pinch hits last night, strikes out. He's hitting 083.
Yeah, he was overwhelmed at a bat, too.
Oh,
they
completely overwhelmed.
They have to move Marte back up to two. Go Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Pete, and then Alvarez.
Right, and then J.D. Martinez when he winds up here, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, or behind, you can put him behind Pete and then Alvarez behind J.D., but you need to this lineup right now.
I mean, listen, Beatty looks kind of overwhelmed to me right now. Made a couple good plays defensively.
But, dude, the guys you just mentioned, I mean, the three guys that you're relying on, Nimmo at the top, Lindor, and Pete last night were 0-for-11.
It's bad. So, I mean, I know the expectations were probably almost non-existent, but you're 0-4. All four were home games. You got swept by Milwaukee.
You got one hit.
I mean, last night you could do
an opening night.
Nothing. At what point do you start to say to yourself, this season is getting away from you?
Well, I don't think you can do that yet, obviously, because it's only four games. The problem is that most Mets fans, including myself, I mean, you too, because we did our picks and neither of us had them in the playoffs, we didn't have high expectations for the season. Too many question marks with the rotation. And if this thing was going to work, it was going to be because offensively, that would have to carry you. That hasn't happened so far. Offense has been bad. Francisco Lindor's been off to a bad start. I mean, you name it. Nimmo, they have not been able to do what's necessary for this team to win baseball games. Like last night, Minaya, who I had a lot of question marks coming into this season just because, I mean,
he was great last night.
He spent most of his year in the bullpen, right? Was awesome. And you had 10 innings and you didn't take care. I mean, eighth inning, Nimmo leadoff walk. You got the Hardy lineup coming up. Lindor, Alonso strikeouts, Alvarez weak round out. And then the 10th defensively was a freaking debacle. Like, you could have got that. I mean, you could have got a 10th, 1-0. And at least now with the ghost runner, you have a chance to at least tie it up.
I mean, what is Wendell doing?
Well, Wendell and then Tonkin decides he wants to try to make a play. He can't make the play.
That would have been so. I mean,
that's an easy double play up the middle.
If he leaves it alone, it's an easy double play. But just knowing baseball, it's hard to let that ball go by you. It's very hard.
I understand.
But make the play. It wasn't that hard of a play.
Right. Wendell doesn't make the play. Yeah, right now it's bad. Absolutely 100% it's bad. But the other thing, though, too, is that, like, we all had wrapped our minds around, okay, this was going to be kind of one of those weird year. This was going to be a weird year for Mets fans, going from, 101 wins. The way that season ended was an atrocity, right? What happened in Atlanta
was disgusting. And then getting swept in Atlanta and then losing with Musgrove and his red ears was an atrocity, yes.
And then you follow that up with, last season was, the definition of disappointment. And then you kind of had to think, okay, they're going to take a step back. You got to believe, Stearns knows what he's doing. Owners bought into it. Don't like it. Didn't expect this to be the case, but you're going to live with it until this money peels off and then they go spend big in free agency. And then the owner comes up and goes, I would be disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs. And you're like, okay, well, how? Look at this team. How could you be disappointed if this team doesn't make the playoffs?
This is not a playoff team, but they have the highest payroll in baseball right now.
I know. That's the grossest part of this.
Right. That's how the mistakes that you made were so bad that you had to trade off pieces for young prospects and you still have the highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, but see, that's what frustrates me about this whole thing, though, is that, yes, we sit here and give him credit because he pivoted and he paid all that money to get the better prospects, which most owners I don't think any owners in baseball actually do, but now we're paying the price for it. Because you already spent that money, now this year, as fans, we're paying the price for it because you didn't put the best product on the field because you have a budget that you're trying to stick to. So you didn't go sign Jordan Montgomery. You didn't add to the rotation. You weren't going to sign JD Martinez until all of a sudden he had no value anywhere else.
Right. He had no value and he said, I'll take nothing.
Right. And I'll defer money.
Could you imagine
if
you didn't? I mean, listen, I think there's a lot of reason to be nearly panicked, but could you imagine if you didn't have JD Martinez in the pipeline on the way? And what happens if it takes him 2 weeks to get going?
Yeah. I mean, none of it's good. Bottom line, though, is the guys that you're relying on have to be better.
But Adrian Hauser on the mound tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got that going for us.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
Which is really nice.
It's not going to matter if we can't score runs anyway.
Carlos Mendoza, what is wrong with your offense?
Chasing a lot, expanding, especially early in counts, and then chasing out of the strike zone. A lot of empty at-bats, not creating much of a traffic there, So got to get better.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
No, he pisses me off too. The way they handle the Rhys Hoskins thing still pisses me off.
Well, they handled it pathetically.
It's so amateurish too the way you handle it.
Yeah, exactly that.
Like, you have a perfect opportunity there. Like, you deal with the ramifications. You want to set the tone. Him and Severino, set the tone. Don't do it the way you did it. Ends up costing you a game. You get suspended a game anyway.
Right. I know. It's not you know what? To be honest with you, there's almost nothing to be excited about right now.
Right now, no. Except Minaya pitched really well.
Minaya pitched really
well.
And Alvarez
is great.
Diaz looks terrific.
And Alvarez is great. Marte looks healthy.
Marte looks a little bit better. But boy, I mean, Lindor, I like Lindor, but I know there's a lot of people that, Lindor pad stats and he's great when the games are. You could use some decent Lindor now.
Well, this is when you need him. You're trying to get off to a halfway decent start.
Yeah, I don't want to be 20 games below 500 in August and have Lindor go, 11 for 14.
He goes nuts.
Yeah. I need, and now is when I need to see it. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, You have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can answer critical emails or simply unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's La Quinta, not La Quinta. Thank you.
Why didn't you tell me that before I did the read?
I thought you knew it was La Quinta.
La Quinta?
It's not La Quinta.
You sure? Like, is this just as commonly known and I'm the real distinct? Like, people listening in their cars on the way to work are like, no, you idiot, it's La Quinta.
What the hell is La Quinta?
Listen, at least you didn't say La Quinta.
Yeah. Come on.
La Quinta.
Yeah. Stayed at a few La Quintas my day.
Really? Well, that's probably how you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you let me run right through the whole read.
I only heard it the one time. I'm just looking through the novel of reads I have today. And I just caught the last one.
So I said La Quinta. And that's not
that's not on me. That's them.
RJ, did you know it's La Quinta?
It's La Quinta.
La Quinta?
I knew it was La Quinta, yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought you knew. A genius like
this
you?
This goes to show you the kind of hotels that he stays at, though. He has no idea that...
Wyndham is very nice, the Wyndham hotels.
Listen, a genius like you knows no bounds. I thought this would have been in your treasure
La
trove
Quinta.
Of things
Dave,
you know.
Dave will never stay at it.
This is the problem with him, though. This La is Quinta. The problem with him. And this is why I love him and hate him at the same time. When he says La Quinta, I look at him and I think I'm wrong.
La Quinta?
Maybe I'm wrong.
How do you say this name?
La Quinta.
La Quinta.
La Quinta.
Keen. Oh, now you have an accent?
You say it with such confidence.
Yeah, right.
I hope I don't have this read again. Oh, we do. 657. La Quinta.
No.
La Quinta.
There you go.
Write it phonetically there, please.
There you go.
Keen.
Thank you.
Like the steakhouse. Keen.
No, don't read it phonetically because then he'll say what I said before. La Quinta.
No, he's not. He wrote K.
When you book a room at La Quinta.
There you go.
Okay. Well, 657 can't come quickly enough.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at RJ. He's got this big smile on his face. He thinks this
He's been real happy the last couple days.
So funny because he was so good yesterday. RJ, if I ever found out it was terminal. Like the end was near, and you knew my wishes were I don't want to go on living a substandard life. Would you end it for me?
No, I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
Why?
Because I'm too close to you. It would pain me too much to be the one to know that I was the one that made the call.
If you knew it's what I wanted, those are my wishes. And how about this? I'm in one of these places, the end, like he has, I don't know, 2 months, maybe 3 months, and I call you close. I'm like, psst, RJ, come here. Right?
You have to do it in more.
If he was already close, I would just go.
You have to do it in more.
He's like in the room, but he's you know, you don't want to say that out loud. You
okay?
Wanna, so I'm like, psst, come over here.
Yeah, you need to do it in a raspy voice. You're struggling.
Yeah, I'm like, RJ, listen, I don't want to live 3 months like this. Take this pillow, smother me.
Why?
What?
It's just a very specific method.
There's got to be an easier way for RJ than have to smother you.
What do you mean? Clint Eastwood did it?
Because you'd be like,
he did it.
No, because you'd be like staring. You'd be looking me in the eyes as he did it.
No, make it real awkward. He'd start up like, no, no, I can't breathe. Save me, nurse. Help.
He's trying to kill me.
Smother me.
Or it's the perfect sting operation. I'm like, fine, if it's really what you want, and then you like take off the sheet, you're wearing a wire, you're like, get him, he was gonna do it.
He fell for the bait.
Dave runs out of the place, I'm fine.
There's nothing wrong with me. But you would not do that for me, or you would? Do you
smother
think?
You with a pillow? No,
I don't know. What would your way be?
I don't have a way. I would not do it.
What would your way be?
I don't know. That's the only way I can think of.
Stop trying to implicate me.
Would you work with my medicines? Like, what would your plan be?
No. What do you work for? The FBI?
It sounds like an NFL combine question.
It's a good question to combine.
Yeah, right. How would you kill me?
Yeah, right.
If I asked you to kill me, how would you kill me?
If you had to commit euthanasia on a friend, how would you do it?
Right. You would do it, right?
Absolutely not.
No.
Ray would probably bludgeon you to death.
Would you? Yeah. You're like Ted Bundy. Like, I got away. Don't worry. This will be painful.
For all the reasons you just stated, no, obviously not. What's wrong with you?
That seems selfish.
Go to Switzerland or wherever that is.
I can barely move. I'm in a bed.
Yeah, but
they'll take care of you there.
Can we go in a private jet? I've never been in a private jet.
That's going to cost me money.
That's going to cost
you. Would you come over to Switzerland when we do it?
I'm not.
Is it Switzerland where they have the little booths?
Yeah, we don't have to do it. We just bring them there, and then find them one of those things, and we just night night.
Well, what do? They
put you in the thing, and they put whatever in there, and that's it.
You say goodbye. You say goodbye
for good.
That's nice. RJ, would you come across to Switzerland with us just so you could say goodbye?
If that were the case, then yes. But I would not. I would want no part of actually making the decision.
Football Sunday, you come across.
I would have to.
I would never do that to you.
You would never do that to
never.
Us.
Never.
No.
No.
Dare you.
I need one more week 15.
Imagine if the end was near and your team was on the way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that would be my luck.
You got to hold on.
Like, listen, Doc, I don't care what you got to do.
Keep me alive.
Give me all the medicines. I got to see my team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that would be brutal.
Well, Dave would be the one, too, like on the local newscast. Like, he makes this miraculous turnaround in recovery, and they would be like, well, who was it? Or what was it? Was it medicine? Was it nurses? Was it your family that got you through it? And Dave would just be totally honest.
The magical Giants run.
No, my family and friends were just in the way. They were taking up my time. It's the Giants.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to check out without the Giants winning.
That would be nice. Let's go to, there's a nasty Nick in Babylon, RJ. Is this the mean jerk of a guy or no?
I forgot that there were two of them.
Yeah.
He didn't seem overly thrilled with what he wants to talk about, so I guess we'll see.
Oh, great. You want to do this or no?
Yeah, I think we roll the dice.
All right, let's go to Nick in Babylon. Hi, Nick.
Wow, RJ, I thought I was a pretty joyful person this morning, but I guess not.
No, I can tell you're the nice Nick.
Yeah, yes, no, well, I just meant with what you're going to get into and who you're going to talk about.
Well, no, I mean, the topic is upsetting, and I'm not going to stand in the way of you discussing it, but there's a guy in Babylon named Nick who's a nasty guy.
Yeah.
You're not him. So go ahead.
Yeah, I remember. I was up watching the Yankees late last night, and I fell asleep before the game ended. And for some odd reason, Dave Rothenberg was in my dream last night calling the Yankee game on the radio. And the game went into, like, crazy extra innings, and Dave went straight into the morning show from calling the game on the radio.
So I called the game that lasted, like, 24 innings and then went from calling the game in Arizona. Did I travel back to New York, or was I doing
the show from
Arizona?
No, you'd have to do it from Arizona.
No. Yeah, you did the Michael Kay from yesterday and did the show from Arizona.
Oh, so okay. That was pretty amazing. How was my play-by-play?
It was good. I think RJ actually might have been on the call as well, which is also crazy.
Did he do like the middle innings kind of thing?
Yeah, he was doing like the play-by-play, kind of like Coney does for the Yankees. But yeah, and then my Mets thing real quick. I was leading up to watching the Yankees last night, and I just, you know, I was watching the Mets, and I couldn't believe that they pinch hit Jeff McNeil. And I know you guys touched on it too. He struck out. The guy was throwing 100. He's from Long Island, whatever. But I don't know. I just feel like give Bader the shot there. He got a hit earlier in the night, and I don't know. I thought it would have been good. But I could be a biased Yankee fan and liking Bader, so I don't know. But
well, it doesn't sound like you care for Jeff McNeil much.
I feel like
I did win a batting title.
McNeil's act is probably not is wearing somewhat thin. He better start to hit soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had a bad season last season. The year before that, he won a batting title. Right? I mean, he's not great defensively.
Feels like he's always in a bad mood,
too.
He
needs to hit. Yeah, well, I mean, he's always got that look on his face. Like, there's always, like, he's always, I don't know how to even describe it. But, you know, I mean, you know the look I'm talking about. Like, he's got that.
That, like, hangdog look?
Like, pouty or whatever it is.
Yeah, and he's always bothered by everything.
He's got bad body language. Yeah, like, listen, I mean, he's got a hit. And it's not, I mean, for average.
Well, obviously for average, because he's not going to hit for power. He's not going to steal bases. He's not a great fielder. If he's not hitting 280 plus, he's a bad baseball player.
Yeah, but I mean, just in general with the Mets, you need the guys, again, like we talked about before the season even started, if you're trying to make a case that this team could find a way into the wild card, to a wild card, Lindor has to hit, Nimmo has to hit, Pete has to hit, Jeff McNeil has to be, now I'm not saying batting title version, but a lot better than 270 that he hit last year. If they're gonna find a way to get out of this and be competitive. Because right now this is not, you can't watch this.
It's really rough.
With everything else going on right now sports wise, this is not on anyone's priority list.
I'm spoiled and I have the room that has numerous TVs. If you had one TV last night, there's no way the Mets make the rotation. Rangers would be on, women's college basketball would be on.
And
Islanders would be on, and then the Mets are your third or fourth choice, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, too, and I hate this because I hear it all the time, too. It's like they have to show more fight. There's no energy. Baseball's not that kind of sport.
The harder you play, the better you play.
If you're not hitting, how are you showing? I mean, yeah, would you like to see more competitive at bats? And you don't need to hear Carlos Mendoza talking about, yeah, you know, we're just trying to do too much. Well, do something. Forget too much. Do something.
Yeah, they're a bad baseball team right now.
When you don't hit, you're lifeless because you got nothing going on.
Right. But the defense has not been good?
Defense was outside of the 10th. Defense wasn't bad last night.
Yeah, outside of the 10th, though. The 10th crushed them.
I understand that. But for the most part, defense was okay. I mean, if Joey Wendell's playing second base for you.
It's great.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Maybe we should start doing a little pump-up music before we actually turn the mics on.
I like that. I like that. And then we come running in with an announcement.
Right. Maybe RJ, call Chicago, see if we can use the Cubs pyrotechnics. Since it seems like they went all out for the pyro.
That looked good. Was that their home opener?
What are you doing?
That was an embarrassment, huh?
First of all, the tarp's in the shape of an L. And then you have two of the four.
It was pathetic.
It really was pathetic.
But that'd be nice. Like we're in the other room. Some motivational, exciting music comes on, and you kind of come running into the studio.
I like it.
That would be nice.
RJ, let's try that tomorrow. Raymond, let's get a good
song
ready.
Well, I just chose my walk-up song for the video we did.
Swing wasn't bad.
No?
Swing was not bad. That was nice.
Yeah, I thought you said that Jake said it was awful. Were you kidding?
No, that's what Jake said to me, but I saw it. It wasn't that bad. I think Bootylicious would have been a good walk-up song for you.
Bootylicious would be nice for me.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Be nice.
That would be nice.
Be real nice.
All right, so time now for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Bet365. I don't know what more there is to say about this Yankees team right now. I mean, the bullpen is absolutely elite. Soto is on base nonstop. It is rolling along. You're 5-0, first time to start a season 5-0 since 1992. I mean, go. I don't know how more to set you up. I mean, it's perfect. It's Shangri-La for the Yankees.
Well,
right,
you're 5-0, and let's also mention the fact that Judge hasn't got himself going yet
at all. Volpe looks right. Oof, special,
that's,
huh?
I said that earlier. I mean, that's one of the ones you would point to. Again, I mean, it's so hard before a season to try to decide whether or not you think a team is going to be good or not, and you can only, I mean, you do your best because you can't predict. Like, I can't predict what Anthony Volpe is going to look like in year two. All I can go off is what I saw in year one. And I think there were a lot of people that thought to themselves, you know, are they doing this kid a disservice by keeping him up here struggling the way that he's struggling? And they saw things that we didn't see. Like, you can't, we wouldn't know that because we don't see him in the clubhouse, how he interacts with his teammates, how right. He shows up to the ballpark. You know, if he shows up to the ballpark and his shoulders are drooped and he's kind of got this, you know, look on his face like he's lost and he's not going to figure it out, then you send him down. Let him go dominate, and then he can, you know, come back up when he's got some confidence back. But the kid never wavered. They saw something in him.
And he did good things last year.
No, I know, but just like, When you struggle the way that he struggled at times last season, sometimes that can ruin you. Because all of a sudden now, as you chip away, I say the same thing about young quarterbacks. You start chipping away that confidence. It happened to me. It's tough to get that confidence back. It takes a while sometimes. And certain guys are just built differently. And I think Volpe's one of those guys that's just built a little bit differently, where he has this supreme confidence in himself. Ends up winning a gold glove. Has a good season. Batting average, you know, obviously was something that he was going to work on and be better at. And you've seen all the work that he's put in this offseason. He was one of the guys that you would point to in this lineup, saying to yourself, if he can take that next step this season offensively, this is going to be at the very least a playoff team when you add Soto, Verdugo, Judge being Judge, if he can stay healthy, all that to the mix. And he's clearly put the work in because he's having really good at-bats. He's not swinging, missing much. His two-strike approach, the one you saw even yesterday, where he kind of, it's almost like he guided it into, like, he shortened up and almost guided the ball into right center. And I was like, wow, this. And then when you see,
and he's athletic,
but that's what you see on the bases, man.
He created a run last night.
Right, tags up.
Gets
a third on the bad throw, gets home on the other
Little League
throw.
Baseball, and, right. And the merry round, you know, goes and goes and goes. But boy, I mean, you got to just be through the roof if you're the Yankees right now. You're a Yankees. You're 5-0. It's all on the road. You're starting pitching. I mean, there's really, and I know there's.
He's got electric stuff, dude.
Who, Heel? Whew. Oh my God!
Right up to 100 like that. You can see why they like him.
Alex walks in last and goes, who's Louis Gill?
I said, did he stay at La Quinta?
Yeah. I said, that's Luis Heel. He's like, oh.
I felt bad for him, though, too, because he knew. Like, he's trying to just get me through the fist.
How about feeling bad for me? He's on my fantasy team.
Well, you got to know he's coming off Tommy John.
Well, give me one more out, and I get the win. No. One more out.
That was the number.
I had the worst thing happen. So I have him on my fantasy team. I actually was rooting for him to do well and rooting for the Yankees to win. They have the lead. He's one out away. They win, which I don't like, but I'm rooting for it because I have him, and then he doesn't even get the win.
What is this? What is this? RJ, what is this power rank? Top five teams we can count out already? And the Jets are on the top five?
Yes.
Well, we got to get to that.
How do you put the Panthers, Patriots,
there's
Broncos,
your boy Canty.
Tennessee, and the Jets on that list?
I don't know.
What?
Look, Carolina makes sense. Patriots, sure. Broncos, I'm uncertain about the quarterback
Tennessee
situation.
Makes sense.
Titans, I guess, right? Jets? They count the Jets out.
Already?
Well, how could you count them out? I think the Jets have a chance to be good.
Wow.
That's oof.
That's a tough list.
That's a brutal list. But can we get back to the Yankees?
I mean,
what you just did there is like textbook.
Oh, I just saw it.
I understand that, but save it for later. Right? I mean, RJ, save it for later. See it. File it away.
I can't save it.
I know.
I get excited.
That's the therein lies the problem of the show. You can't contain your excitement.
I can't give gifts like that either.
The floodgates open up and away you go.
I get
chew
Cassie,
it and do it.
I love those reads. I give Cassie, I get her a present. I have to give it to her right away.
So what'd you do when you bought her the engagement ring?
Oof, it was a tough couple.
That must have been impossible for
tough.
You.
I had to lock it away so I wouldn't go get it. I locked it up in the safe.
That was hard for me too when I had Sherry's engagement ring.
Because they know you're acting funny.
I don't know that I was acting funny. I just went, like, she's the person I share all the stuff with.
I can't even notice, though. It happened to my buddy. He didn't notice he was acting funny. And then he went in the bathroom and, like, because that's when he was getting ready to do it. And he had the door locked. And his wife thought he was, like, cheating on her. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, what are you doing in there? And he finally snapped.
They know everything. Fine, I got your ring. Yeah, here, take it.
And he said, ruined
it. We'll get married, we'll get married.
Right, it ruined the whole engagement proposal.
So, Yankees, again, 5-0. Every night is a good night. Huge comeback wins against Houston. Bullpen's been great. Are there things that aren't perfect? Of course, Judge. But here's the thing. Is it a bad thing the Judge hasn't started hitting yet? Or is it a good thing?
No, I actually think it's a good thing.
Right. So Judge hasn't even started hitting yet, and you're still sitting here at 5-0.
Remember, too, he had his spring was interrupted, too, with the whole
of course
abdominal thing.
Of course. But, I mean, for Volpe to do what he's done, and, you know, last year the bottom of the lineup was, you'd look at it and be like, oh, God. Now you look at it, it's like, wow.
Well what Cabrera, special. I mean, what Cabrera's doing right now. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, there were so many people that were like, going back to an earlier conversation that I had with Grasso, just like, why is there no more juice? Why is there no juice right now? And I was just like, well, I got the Cole injury. I think all of a sudden now DJ LeMahieu dealing with the foot. I know it's a different injury, but it's his foot again. We find out it's a, you know, non-displaced fracture. And it actually turns out that it was a good thing because of how good Cabrera's been.
Cabrera's been great. And I don't know if you might not feel like this. I don't expect anything from LeMahieu. I mean, another foot issue, but I think that'll be okay. I think that you have enough to get by not having a healthy DJ LeMahieu. And if you do, then that's kind of gravy for the Yankees.
Right. Or even if Stan doesn't end up figuring it out, right? Like, you still, I mean, you feel like with the way that, dude, Soto's at bats. I mean, if you like baseball, watching Juan Soto approaching a bat.
It's beautiful. It's it really like if, is. It's if like your a kid, thing of beauty.
If your kid plays baseball, have him watch Juan Soto approaching a bat.
Every at bat is like 7 pitches.
It's like his eye is amazing. His pitch recognition is amazing. Amazing. Like there's no intimidation at all. Like some of these at bats you see, like even like some, like Stanton's won a National League MVP, and he's up there guessing. Like, well, he has no plan.
But these are two completely different players.
No, I know. But you talk about a guy who won a National League MVP that takes some of the worst swings you've seen in the history of watching baseball, and then you watch Juan Soto approaching a bat, and it's like he knows exactly what he wants to do when he gets up there. He's spitting on, you know, pitchers' best pitches.
I mean, how about the ball he hit off Hader the other day? Goes the other way. I mean, Hader is as nasty a lefty as there is in baseball.
That's a lefty-lefty matchup, too. Yeah, it's, I mean, his presence.
He's a great hitter. And you recognize it more when you watch him every day.
Right.
Like, when you see Soto come to town, he's on the Nationals or the Padres, and you see him 6 games a year, 9 games a year, you think, oh, this guy's really good. When you get to watch every game and every at-bat, I mean, my God, he's unbelievably special.
Yeah, you know what the thing, too, I like about what the Yankees are doing so far this season is it feels like they're actually, because I know we've talked about this, kind of like lose the battle to win the war, right? It seems like they've actually, and maybe it's because they know that, you know, this could be, you know, the only year of Soto that they get. It feels like they're prioritizing going out and trying to win
right.
as many of these
and
as they
also
can.
Feels like he adds a certain level of juice to this thing.
Well, how about accountability? Right? Like, I mean, it feels like he's the kind of guy. I mean, he played every game last season that if Aaron Boone tells him, hey, you're going to have a scheduled day off, he's going to be like, no, I'm not.
No. And again, I mean, I understand that the Yankees are very stringent with their analytics and guys that have to get days off. But if Juan Soto tells you I'm playing, you're going to tell him he's not?
No, or like this, I mean, I understand too, like start of a season, like this is the same way kind of in the NHL too, where you kind of want to get everyone going early. But like, I think there's something to be said in baseball, just because it's, I mean, baseball, I was saying this to my wife last night, she said something like about a pitch, and she's like, how didn't he hit that? I'm like, what do you mean, how didn't he hit that? Like, it's 97 moving. They make it look too easy sometimes for people to understand.
Watching baseball on television, and then sitting low down and watching baseball, when you watch on television, you're like, that ball was right down the middle. No. How did he not swing? It is so difficult.
Well, because you're reacting to the second you see it out of his hand. Like, you're trying to pick up spin, and you're like, you think, okay, this is a pitch I can hit. And then all of a sudden, as it gets closer, like the tunneling thing, it's coming out the same
and
spot.
And it gets on you so
quickly.
Well,
it's moving
quickly.
Left, it's moving right. I told you, I stood in the box, Danny Graves. I stood in the batter's box in the bullpen for
right.
him. Nothing was straight. Nothing.
And this was not even prime of
no,
his career,
this was
Danny
Long
Graves.
Island Ducks Graves.
Right.
And he was toying with me. Everything was all over the place. But my point is that when you have like this whole, we don't believe in hot. Well, I know Aaron Boone believes in hot, right? And like, there's something to be said about, yeah, we'll take all the information, but we also know that like, I played baseball and understand that there's times when the baseball looks like a softball and we should take advantage of those times.
Right. And then keep them in the lineup when that's the situation. Jeff Passett, he's very good. He was on the K Show yesterday. He had said he thought the Yankees could not make the postseason if they don't get back Gerrit Cole this year. Did you underestimate the Yankees?
I don't jump to conclusions after four games, and I'm not going to sit here and say that my concerns about the Yankees were wrong, because they are still a team that's on the older side. They are still a team that's gotten injured, you know, a fair bit through the years, and they are still a team, most of all, that doesn't have Gerrit Cole for the next 2 months, and perhaps beyond that. That being said, the way that that offense produced, and particularly the at-bats that Juan Soto took, it completely transforms this team.
It changes everything. I think it's fair. I mean, again, you're five games in now. So it's a great five games, but it's nothing as compared to what you're going to play. But you couldn't be more excited than you are right now.
No, but it's five games, and some of the things that you had questions about seem to be, like, you're getting good answers to those questions. And then on top of that, guys that aren't real question marks that you know are going to produce at a certain level haven't got going yet. Like, you know, if Aaron Judge plays, what he's like, the kind of season you're going to get from Aaron Judge. And right now, he's not even going.
Right. What do you have? Nestor on the mound tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against Gallen.
Right.
Be a tough matchup.
Yeah, but you know what?
But that's the thing, though. Like, I mean,
but you get the starters of the other team out in 4 2/3 innings anyway.
Exactly right. Like, last night was 2 2/3. So now, the first game of a series, they're in their bullpen early.
Right.
How it affects the rest of the series.
Right. And the Yankees were in their bullpen early as well, but it feels like the Yankees have just endless arms in the bullpen. This Birdie's good. Birdie the pitcher.
It's one of Brian Cashman's greatest strengths.
It boggles my mind how he's so elite with putting a bullpen together, and starting staff is a struggle for him every year. It'll never make sense to me.
I think certain people are just good at doing certain things.
Well, he's great at it.
Dude, I'm telling you, just like this is, I don't know if this is similar to just the mindset you have when you're a relief pitcher as opposed to a starting pitcher, but when I went from kind of a shared, like, split situation, or I was the backup, to all of a sudden having the pressure of knowing that you were the starter, it's different. Like, the mentality is different. Like, it's not as, I'm not going to say easy, but there's kind of like a different expectation when you, like, you're the guy.
Sure.
And maybe that's part of, I mean, and then it's New York, too.
Oh, a lot of pressure, but it doesn't affect Soto.
Does not affect Soto.
That's the Yankees Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Stamatis in Astoria, right near City Field. Good morning, Stamatis.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, David. How are you?
We're doing okay, but we're not very pleased with the Mets right now.
Well, nor am I. However, I called with some reverse psychology. So the last time that I saw optimism this high was the Mickey Callaway Mets, who started 11-0. So we just got to ask, for the Mets fans and the Yankee fans alike, let's just calm down and know that that was just, you know, turned out to be something that didn't, start as it seemed. So that's one. Two, as much as I thought, as a Mets fan, I'm a diehard Mets fan. I mean, I was actually a Mets fan my whole life. I was actually Mr. Mets in 1998. So, like, I have it in my blood.
But you dressed up in the uniform, in the costume every game, and you were Mr. Mets?
Yeah, in 1998, wow. I was actually Mr. Mets' assistant for the season, and then he quit to go be the Pirate Parrot. That's a true story. And then I took over in the off season, where I performed at weddings and birthday parties.
Really?
But, yeah, so I wore the head.
Why only 1 year? Did they not extend the contract?
actually, they budget stuff. They changed the entire management of that division, and it didn't bring me back. I was devastated, but, you know, I'll wear that forever. You know, it was one of the greatest, you know, seasons of my life. I met all the players, I got stories for days. I met a lot of players. The indoor batting cage was right next to our dressing room. So I met McGuire and the McGuire-Sosa era.
Well, that was the year, right? I mean, that was the year that went on the home run chase.
Yeah, look, you could probably vouch for it, man. You're a big baseball fan like I am. So it's like, a lot of my coworkers during that time, they didn't really watch baseball. So, like, I was there the day the Mets traded for Piazza in May 22nd of 98. I was there when it happened, and I lost my mind. You know, I was, like, running around, like, do you know
what's
going on?
What's wrong with Mr. Met? Mr. Met's going crazy today.
But my management, like, was like, who's Mike Piazza? Because these guys weren't, like,
great. That's good to know. That they're heavily involved with the Mets, and who's Mike Piazza? That's terrific to know. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when the gentleman from Australia sent an email in and he had brain cancer and he had a baby on the way and he came to the States for his honeymoon and he started listening to our show and he fell in love with our show? He sent me another email.
Okay.
RJ, you listening to this?
This isn't the OnlyFans email, is it?
No. Don't you remember this gentleman,
Danny
from Australia, and he has brain cancer, and he sent in the email?
Yeah, left off in a very unsettling way.
Hello from, how did he say to pronounce it? Melbourne, was it? Melbourne.
That's right.
Couple things. Wasn't able to listen to the show every day last week as I was at the Australian Grand Prix in my great city, but I have a simple question regarding Ohtani, which you may have covered. I've come to the opinion that Mazzara, is that how you say his name? Muzahara, whatever, is the fall guy, and he'll get paid very well down the road as the fall guy by the Ohtani team. What are your thoughts on this now after the weekend? All right, question without notice for Rick. Are my Preds the sneaky most team in the NHL right now? What do you think? Preds?
How did he become he's a Nashville Predators fan?
I don't know. Maybe he went there on his honeymoon.
Are the Nashville Predators the sneaky what? Like to compete to win a Stanley Cup? No.
No, okay. I'd like to defend Rick on his hats from other sports team scenario. Last year, we went to 7 different stadiums in the USA, and I bought a shirt, puck, or baseball at all of them as a keepsake. We live over 10,000 miles away from New York City, so it's a little bit harder to catch a game from our end. None, however, were brought as fashion, but I get it. It's different, though. He's not a fan of a team. He's not a fan of one specific team. For you to wear...
I'm a fan of New Era hats.
No, you're a fan of the Mets.
No,
and that should be first and foremost.
Well, it's a keepsake, and if they just so happen to match my outfit that I'm wearing perfectly, then I'm going to use it.
Now, here's the update you're looking for.
Okay.
No news on the tumor front. That's actually a good thing, though. No news is good news with that. We still have to go through a lot of tests, etc., but at the time of typing this, we're in a good place right now. My wife and our little McNugget that grows in her belly are both fit and well. We're so well that we're talking about possibly heading back to New York City later this year to catch a Cubs game in Chicago after. Just need to get the leave approved by our employers. Fingers crossed. As always, much love from Australia, Danny in Melbourne. So that's good. No news, good news.
That is good. Yep. No news. I guess if he says no news, good news, then good news.
No news is good news. So that's good news. So we'll take that. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We do have some news on the Knicks with the injury front. We'll see what that is, and we'll share it with you next. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. All right, you ready? Here we go. I've been working on it. I wrote down the phonetics, and away we go. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open. You're ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so bad you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations, they happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.